program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jen Rogers for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is All About Pets. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from ABC7.com, CBS7.com, The Washington Post, Catster.com, and Dogster Magazine. On today's program, we'll start with an article from ABC7.com by Denise Dador, titled, Should You Share a Bed with Your Pet When You Sleep? Cuddling with cats and dogs at bedtime may bring comfort to many pet lovers, but is it a really good idea? 2 months ago, when Kylia Clark of Glendale met her dog, Bella, they just clicked. I don't really believe in love at first sight, but I believe it when it comes to dogs. So I just knew, she said. But at night, Bella snuggles so much, she tends to crowd out her human companion. She'll get even closer to me, and so then it does almost kick me out of bed a little bit, Clark said. So I really shouldn't still allow her to sleep in bed with me, but I do. But why? Because studies show pets help ease anxiety, depression, and reduce stress levels. I really liked having her there. I just felt safer. I felt more secure with having her with me, she said. It might be comforting at night to have your dog by your side, but doctors say it shouldn't come at the cost of your sleep, which doctors say is important to your overall health. You want to get continuous sleep. You want to have good quality and quantity of sleep. You want to get to the deep stage of sleep and REM sleep, says Dr. Raj Dasgupta, a pulmonary and sleep medicine specialist at Keck Medicine at USC. He said nearly half of American pet owners say they sleep with their pets. Many of those same people report sleep disruptions. Because of his dog Clifford, Dasgupta can relate. He does the full body shake, and next thing you know, we all wake up, he said. 7 hours of sleep is what your brain needs. If you're not able to get that, the solution depends on you and your pet. I think if you're duking it out for supremacy in a tiny bed with a big dog, that might not be the perfect combo for you, Dasgupta said. Maybe you need separate sleeping areas, or maybe you just need a bigger bed. In time, Clark hopes she and Bella will find a way to get a solid night's sleep. Our dogs mean the world to us, but we need to also pay attention to what we need to and making sure that we put that first, she said. Next, we'll move on to an article from CBS7.com titled Helpful Tips on Protecting Your Pets from the Cold Weather by Armando Gomez. Winter begins next month. Well, it's this month. And the impending cold weather has pet owners wondering how they can protect their own pets from the freezing temperatures. It is that time of year to bring your pets back inside. And here are the helpful tips on protecting your domestic animals from the winter weather. Pets across the U.S. are found frozen to death or left to die in sub-zero temperatures. According to PETA, since last year, about 36 pets have died from the cold weather. As cold weather comes upon us, we are encouraging our clients and the community to bring dogs in when it is raining and when it is really cold, says Executive Director of Fix West Texas, Karen Patterson. Pets can also suffer from hypothermia, just like humans. Here are the signs that pet owners need to know if their four-legged friends are suffering from hypothermia. I would say cold to the touch, paled gum, shivering, and lethargy, says Fix West Tenex Clinic Manager Brooke Parker. You can still protect your furry friends from the freezing temperatures if you need to leave them outside. There are creative ways for pet owners to build a shelter outside for their pets to keep them warm. We have barrel drums filled with hay, so if you have a dog that needs to be outdoors, they can still take refuge and be warm during the winter. And also some igloo-looking boxes for cats, said Parker. It is best to have your pets inside when it is raining or if it is cold outside. It is important that they are fed well with food and water in inclement weather. It's crucial to check if your pet has any frostbites if they are outdoors. There are people that have a lease agreement or work for some reason as to why they can't keep their animals inside. And state law requires you to provide 3 walls and a roof to keep your animal out of the inclement weather, says Patterson. This is in Texas. If you need a shelter for your domestic animal, Fix West Texas is providing dog homes to protect your pets from the inclement weather. Next, we'll move on to an article from the Washington Post titled, Think Cats Are Aloof? They Make Nearly 300 Facial Expressions, Study Says, by Kyle Melnick. Brittany Florkiewicz has always been a dog person, but she was surprised by what she discovered when reviewing more than 100 hours of cat videos. Florkiewicz, a psychology professor at an Arkansas college, spent her childhood running around her yard with her family's German Shepherds and Labrador Retrievers. She believed dogs were friendlier and more expressive than cats, as many pet owners do. That changed when she and a co-researcher began studying cats in 2021 to learn more about how they communicate and express themselves. After videotaping and reviewing felines' facial expressions at a cat cafe for nearly a year, Florkiewicz debunked her lifelong belief. The researchers found that cats displayed at least 276 different facial expressions, according to the study's results, which was published in October in the journal Behavioral Processes. Florkiewicz told the Washington Post that the findings show cats are more articulate and affectionate than previously thought. As someone who fell prey to the stereotype of cats are aloof, they don't really express themselves as much as dogs. The study was enlightening, said Florkiewicz, who teaches at Lyon College in Batesville, Arkansas. Florkiewicz and her co-researcher, Lauren Scott, were studying anthropology at UCLA in 2020 when they decided to research cats. Florkiewicz has been analyzing facial expressions in chimpanzees and other primates, but she said there had not been much research on the expressions that cats give each other. About once a week, starting in August 2021, Florkiewicz and Scott filmed cats for a few hours at the Cat Cafe Lounge in Los Angeles. The cafe housed about 30 cats that were up for adoption. Employees arranged a room and patio for the cats to roam around that included food, water, litter boxes, scratching posts, wood perches, and toys. Some cats were adopted over the next 10 months, and the new ones started living at the cafe during that time, allowing researchers to observe 53 cats in total. By June 2022, the two had recorded 150 hours of cat interactions using a Panasonic camcorder. Over the next 4 months, Florkiewicz and Scott carefully reviewed the footage and documented the cats' facial expressions. They studied how the cats moved their ears, wrinkled their noses, parted their lips, and licked their faces. They labeled each face either a friendly or an unfriendly expression. When cats were happy or having fun, they typically moved their ears and whiskers forward and outward, and sometimes closed their eyes. Cats tended to make what were labeled as friendly expressions when they were grooming each other, resting next to one another, sniffing each other, and rolling around and playing together. When cats felt threatened or unhappy with another cat, they typically moved their ears backward and flattened them, licked their lips, and constricted their pupils. Cats usually displayed those faces when biting, fleeing, growling, hissing, scratching, spitting, staring, and swatting at each other. Of the 276 facial expressions, researchers found that about 46% were friendly, and nearly 37% were aggressive, and roughly 17% were ambiguous. Cats opening their mouths, dropping their jaws, wrinkling their noses, and blinking were behavior seen in both friendly and aggressive faces. Cat communication is much more complex than we've previously assumed, says Florkiewicz, 31. Florkiewicz hopes that cat owners and shelters will use the study's finding to understand how well their cats are getting along. She's considering creating an app that would allow pet owners to record their cats' interactions to determine what feelings they are expressing. Florkiewicz is also using the research for her personal life. Last year, her husband encouraged her to adopt a cat, whom they named Char, based on the Pokemon character Charizard. On Friday, the couple adopted another cat named Darth Vader. Florkiewicz didn't expect the cats to greet each other, but when they met, Char pushed her ears and whiskers forward and sniffed Darth Vader, a sign she was trying to be welcoming. But when Darth Vader later tried to jump onto Char, Char hissed, bent her ears, and narrowed her eyes, an indication she wasn't ready to be Darth Vader's new playmate. As the cats learned to share her house, Forkiewicz plans to continue judging their moods by their facial expressions. She admits she now enjoys living with cats as much as dogs. In terms of that playful exploratory behavior, cats can also provide that to you, she said. Now we'll move on to catster.com, where we'll begin with an article titled Choosing Cat Food, The Do's and Don'ts of Feeding Kitty, written by Jackie Brown. Choosing a healthy cat food can feel overwhelming, especially when you look at the sea of brands, formulations, and flavors. Before choosing a food, first identify your cat's life stage. Cats have different nutritional needs depending on where they are in the stage of growth and life cycle, says Johanna Devereaux, clinical pet nutritionist and owner of Fetch RI in Richmond, Rhode Island. Feeding a cat to support those needs is important to their vitality and will help them achieve good health. Kittens less than 1 year old should eat kitten food, called growth, or a food labeled for all life stages. Adult cats older than one should eat adult food, called maintenance, or a diet labeled for all life stages. Cats 11 to 14 are considered senior, and cats 15 and older are classified as geriatric. Though senior and geriatric cats can eat maintenance for all of life stages, they might benefit from a diet formulated for older cats. Whatever your cat's age shall benefit from these important feeding do's and don'ts. Do choose a complete and balanced cat food. The most important thing you can do when choosing a cat food is to look for a statement on the label that says the food meets the standards established by the Association of American Feed Control Officials, AAFCO, demonstrating that the food is complete and balanced for the cat's life stage. Growth, kittens, and pregnant or lactating queens. Maintenance, adult cats, or all life stages, any cat from kitten to geriatric. Do choose a food for your cat's life stage. An animal's nutritional requirements vary depending on their life stage, says Dr. Jennifer A. Larson, professor of clinical nutrition at UC Davis's School of Veterinary Medicine. Very young kittens typically need a more energy-dense diet so that they need to eat less volume, while older cats are predisposed to obesity and usually do better on diets with lower calories. Don't feed your kitten as an adult cat food. Kittens should not eat food intended for adult cats. Adult cats can eat kitten food as long as they can tolerate the high calorie density and do not gain unwanted weight. But kittens should not eat food that is only for adults, as this will not meet their needs, Dr. Larson says. It's generally safe to feed your adult cat kitten food if necessary, but kitten food is higher in calories, so it could cause unwanted weight gain. Do offer kittens various foods and textures. Kittens develop strong food preferences early in life. Cats that have been fed a variety of foods are more likely to try something new when offered, Johanna says. It's a good idea to make sure your cat accepts a variety of kibble flavors and shapes, as well as a different canned foods, including loaf or pate type, chunks and gravy, etc. Do count calories. When cats eat too many calories, they risk becoming overweight or even obese. Talk to your vet about how many calories your cat needs. The number of calories a cat needs per day depends on a variety of factors, including age, activity level, whether they are fixed or intact, and their body condition, Johanna says. Calorie calculators are available online to use as a starting point, but emphasis should also be placed on how your cat body responds to the calories being consumed. Do choose the right diet for your senior cat. Your senior or geriatric cat might benefit from a special diet, so talk to your veterinarian about your cat's individual needs. Consideration of the individual is warranted during aging, as some cats are overweight while others are too thin, and there may be underlying conditions that we can address, such as arthritis, Dr. Larson says. No AAFCO nutrient profile exists for senior cats, so diets labeled for senior cats may not offer similar nutrition. The category of senior diets is broad and does not share any particular characteristics, says Dr. Larson, who's one of the authors of a recently published study looking at senior diets. According to Dr. Larson, it's long been known that cats with kidney disease require reductions in phosphorus intake. But healthy cats, young and old, can also develop kidney damage if they eat a diet too high in phosphorus. For seniors and for cow cats, really, there is emerging evidence that intake of diets high in phosphorus can lead to damage in the kidneys. So Dr. Larson shares the three most common mistakes she sees pet owners making when feeding their cats. Buying supersized bags of food. If you purchase more food than your cat will eat in 4 to 6 months, it might spoil or go stale before your cat finishes it. Store open bags of food in a cool, dry place, resealed in the original package, which is designed to help keep the food fresher longer. Overfeeding. Free feeding, leaving food out all the time, or giving too many treats will cause your cat to become overweight or obese. Giving supplements or vitamins. If you are feeding a complete and balanced pet food, adding extra vitamins is not recommended, as this can lead to excess of some nutrients. Move on to another article on Catster titled, What is a Community Cat? Facts and FAQ, written by Elizabeth Gray. Whether you live in a city or a rural area, you may have spotted large groups of cats living together outdoors who don't seem to have owners. Most likely, you've discovered a community cat colony. By the simplest definition, community cats are unknown, free-roaming outdoor cats. In this article, we'll look more closely at what is and is not a community cat, why they exist, and modern approaches to managing cat communities. We'll also tell you how you can help deal with community cats in your area. Community cats. Who are they, and where do they come from? Community cats are a diverse bunch. They may live in cities or as barn cats in rural communities. Some were previously owned, while others descend from a long line of feral cats. They likely have different levels of exposure and trust in humans, too. Some community cats can be friendly and at least partially socialized towards people. These cats most likely were owned at some point since kittens need to be exposed to humans by about kittens need to be exposed to humans by about 9 weeks old to become socialized towards them. Others are completely feral or wild and regard humans with fear and suspicion. How are community cats managed? The old way. In the past, stray or community cats were typically managed by capturing them and bringing them to animal shelters. However, most community cats are not adoptable because they were never socialized with people, and the sheer number of these homeless kitties overwhelms most animal control operations. Overall, cats are adopted in smaller numbers than dogs anyway. Because there are so many stray cats in the country, removing some to a shelter creates an opportunity for new kitties to take over the abandoned territory and continue reproducing. Overcrowded shelters allow diseases to spread rapidly, leading to unnecessary suffering and death. Shelters frequently deal with funding problems anyway and don't have the resources to handle large community cat colonies effectively. The new way. Modern management of community cats frequently leans towards policies allowing the kitties to remain outdoors, stay healthy, and control overpopulation long term. Usually this involves a trap-neuter-release TNR program. Worldwide, most cats live outdoors, and managing colonies is more cost-effective than previous attempts to control stray populations. TNR programs generally involve trapping all adult members of a community cat colony, sterilizing and vaccinating them, and returning them to their outdoor homes. Volunteers or animal control officers monitor the colonies, ensuring the cats are healthy and trapping any new adults to be neutered. Spaying and neutering the adult community cats reduces nuisance behaviors like fighting, vocalizing, and spraying. It also helps save lives because only about 25% of kittens born outdoors live past 6 months. Most importantly, it leads to a long-term decline in the overpopulation of unhoused cats. How can you help community cats? One of the best ways to help community cats is to volunteer with a local TNR program. Contact local shelters or cat rescue groups to find out if they need help managing community cats. You can assist with trapping and transporting cats to receive medical care or serve as the caretaker for a community. Community kittens younger than 9 weeks may be adoptable and are typically placed with foster families for socialization. Consider becoming a foster home for these animals or temporarily housing community cats after surgery. Another way you can help community cats is to prevent more kitties from losing their homes. Keep your cats safely indoors so they don't get lost and become a statistic. and also donate or volunteer with programs that help people in financial trouble keeping their cats. Conclusion. With around 30 to 40 million community cats in the United States, finding effective and humane ways to manage the animals is an urgent problem. Multiple animal welfare groups such as the American Humane Society and ASPCA support using TNR and similar programs to manage community cats and reduce populations over time. About 12% of the U.S. population feeds and cares for community cats. If you want to join them, contact your local animal shelter. Now we'll move on to Dogster magazine, and we'll read an article titled, How Much Is That Doggy in the Shelter? By Mary Schwager. We break down adoption fees and home requirements at both animal shelters and rescues. How much does it cost to adopt a dog? Dogster's nationwide survey of adoption fees found that the price can vary depending on the dog's age, location, and even where the pup came from. Every organization is different, says Lindsay Hamrick, the Director of Shelter Outreach and Engagement for the Humane Society of the United States, HSUS. An adoption fee is money adopters pay to a shelter or rescue to help the organization recoup some of the cost it spent caring for a dog. Some shelters charge reduced or no fees to battle what animal welfare experts say is a national crisis, dwindling adoptions and increasing euthanasia rates. The shelter is willing to drop the fee to get more people in their doors because animals are at risk, says Mark Peralta, the chief program officer with Best Friends Animal Society. Adopting means saving an animal's life and getting a family member that needs you. By adopting from a shelter comes with different requirements, including different prices than adopting from a rescue. We break down what you need to know about each. Shelter adoptions. City and county shelters often have the lowest adoption fees. Dogster found prices ranging from $20 to about $350. It's really just locally based, Lindsay says. For government-funded shelters, their fees may be set by law. There's a vast array of government-funded shelters. Some are ramshackle holding pens with concrete floors surrounded by fencing and a tin roof. These bare-bones shelters are usually required to take every dog who comes through the door but can't afford to provide vaccines, microchips, or veterinary care. When the place is full, dogs are euthanized. Those shelters need your support the most, Mark says. You could adopt a fantastic dog. It's about saving lives. Other shelters have modern climate-controlled buildings with veterinarians on staff and provide a well-vetted dog. San Antonio Animal Care Services, ACS, spays, neuters, vaccinates microchips, and tests dogs for heartworm. The city's adoption fee is $86 for dogs under a year old and $50 for dogs older than a year. But if a dog's three-day hold time at the shelter is up and the dog is at risk of being killed, the adoption fee is reduced to $25. Due to the overpopulation of pets in need, ACS does have to make the heartbreaking decision to euthanize for kennel capacity, says Lisa Norwood with ACS. ACS and other shelters host adoption events offering discounted fees or none at all. We are huge fans of fee-free adoptions, especially with shelters so overwhelmed, Lindsay says. It frees up people's finances to afford some of the medical care and the food that comes with having an animal. Marlisa Beatty adopted her dog Gunner for a shelter for free. The Pennsylvania woman had just lost three dogs to different medical conditions and spent a hefty sum on their veterinary bills. Gunner came neutered, vaccinated, and microchipped, Marlisa says. He's wonderful. He's amazing. The best dog of them all. Some in the rescue community worry that free adoptions may attract questionable adopters, but national animal welfare experts disagree. There's a kind of intuitive theory that the more people pay, the more responsible they are, Mark says. Just because people have more expandable cash doesn't mean they're better pet owners. There is no statistical evidence of that. Rescue adoptions. Dogster found that rescue's adoption fees range from about $100 to $1,000. Many groups say the money helps them stay afloat financially, but rarely covers all the costs of saving dogs. They rely on donations and grants to keep operating. Some rescues spend thousands of dollars transporting dogs out of shelters in different parts of the country, and even from other countries, to save them from being killed. Survivor Tales Rescue, located in Massachusetts, charges a $500 adoption fee. Those fees help the nonprofit save dogs from high-kill shelters in the southern United States and pay for boarding, rides to New England, training, and veterinary care. We get a lot of dogs that never had medical care, says Megan Saucier, co-founder of the All Volunteer Rescue. We've had dogs cost us well over $15,000. We paid for everything from ligament repairs to orthopedic surgeries. Survivor tales and most rescues fix dogs' health ailments prior to adopting them and pay to spay, neuter, vaccinate, and microchip the dogs. At different times over the last few years, Dorothy Wells from Tennessee adopted 3 fully vetted dogs from the same rescue for $100 each. Every dog was healthy and well-behaved, Dorothy says. One turned out to be a purebred blue heeler. The fact you get a dog from a rescue does not speak to the loyalty, the love, and the affection from that dog. Some rescues offer low-cost or free adoptions for special needs dogs. Besides advocating for animals across the country with best friends, Mark also runs Vintage Pet Rescue, a Rhode Island group that saves senior dogs with those sweet, frosted faces and does not charge a fee. Our adopters will need money because these are older animals with a little bit more cost attached to them, Mark says. What else is required? Nearly all organizations require prospective adopters to fill out applications and sign adoption contracts. The process usually moves quickly in shelters where the dogs are at risk. We have a lot of shelters that simply talk to people, Lisa says. Maybe they get your name, address, phone number, and email, and that's really all they need. And a sit-down conversation about the kind of dog for your lifestyle. Rescues may have lengthier process requiring home visits, reference, and background checks. There may be stricter policies prohibiting young children in the home, electric fences, and dog doors. Some require fenced-in yards, fences around swimming pools, and mandatory training. Dogs often live in foster homes until they're adopted, where foster parents observe their behavior and teach basic commands and potty training. Rescues might take more time to help match you with a dog, Mark says. They tend to have more time with the animals, and sometimes people want that because it helps them figure out what they want. Why you should adopt. When you adopt a dog, you're not only saving that animal's life, you're also saving other dogs. Adopting from a shelter that euthanizes for space reasons frees up kennels, potentially sparing other dogs. The crisis for animals is at the highest we've seen in years, Lindsay says. And adopting from a rescue may open a spot in a foster home and allow a foster parent to take another dog at a risk in a shelter. Shelters and rescues need people more than ever. Dorothy says choosing adoption not only helped save the lives of her dogs, but the love and companionship she received in return changed her life forever. Don't discount the dog. The discount dog, she says. The rescue dog could be the best dog you ever had. How to find a dog to adopt. You can contact your community's animal control agency, research local shelters or rescues, check out an online searchable database for animals who need homes, such as petfinder.com and adoptapet.com. Contact large rescues like North Shore Animal League, Best Friends Animal Society, the ASPCA, or the HSUS for local partner resources, and ask friends and family for recommendations. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. All About Pets is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.